Ladies act like gents.
And recite these hymns. What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. And goodness gracious, B. Mitch and Finley live in Ashburn, Virginia.
We made it, Jay.
Yo, we made it. Say we're 30 miles west of the city. Terrible, terrible weather out in the DMV today.
Man, I woke up this morning. Well, I woke up around 3 something to go to the bathroom. And I was like, damn, is this still raining? It never stopped. God.
It never stopped. It's not going to stop all day. And I don't know what's going on, so I don't want to make light of what may or may not be serious accidents and situations. But, dude, the traffic today was unbelievable. I really want to sincerely credit two people. Our friend Greg Height, always looking out for people, and my boy Parker texted me both this morning about 8:30, and they were like, yo, if you have to get to Ashburn, man, you need to get a move on because the traffic on the Beltway and the toll road is jacked.
Yep.
And sure enough, I had to go to the school this morning. It's camping week in kindergarten, B. I had to bring a teepee to school. So I got home.
Teepee from JP.
Yeah, exactly. Not that kind of teepee. But I usually drop the girls off. I'm home at like 8:05, and I can get a move on, right? Mm-hmm. But because I had to do that, I didn't get home till like 8:20, 8:25. And then I get both these dudes texting me. I'm like, yo, I got to go. Like, I don't know what's going on out there, but I got to move.
Yeah.
We made it, man. And I'm really excited for today. The schedule, as it's currently constituted, Jaden Daniels, Cliff Kingsbury, and Dan Quinn will all speak to the media. You will hear as much of that as possible right here on our program at various times. It's kind of going to be, you know, various we'll see on the times when stuff comes in. It's an exciting day because it's kind of like the first day we get to hear from, you know, these guys on this team. We've talked to Quinn plenty. We haven't talked to Cliff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, honestly, we haven't really talked to Cliff. It became pretty obvious he was sticking around. But, like, that process of him deciding, yo, I'm staying here. Like, I'm not worried about going to try to get another job right now. We haven't talked.
I don't think he has to worry about getting one. I think one's going to fall in his lap.
If I'm Cliff Kingsbury, I've told you this. I'm not leaving unless it's Cincy or Buffalo. Like, I'm going to work with a star quarterback and run my offense.
Oh, yeah.
And I think Buffalo shouldn't come open, but the NFL's crazy. Cincy, if they miss the playoffs again, could that open up? I don't know.
It could.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to get rid of the quarterback.
No. Far too much money invested. And I think I don't know, man. It's going to be a fun, good day out here. It's the first time. I mean, there's so many things, right? Like, it's OTAs and it's non-contact and it's non-pads, but it's also like it's the first time I'm going to see Debo run a crosser with Terry going deep.
Yep.
And what the hell are defenses going to do with that? And defensively, I was thinking about this morning. We got so used to seeing Jeremy Chinn at all times last year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he played, Brian, his snap percentage defensively was damn close to 100% because he was largely healthy. He was largely healthy. And I think, you know, I think there's a lot of excitement around Will Harris, the guy they signed from the Saints. And there's obviously other candidates, but nobody's going to have Chin's size and speed. He was 6'3", 230. You don't, it's not easily replaced. So I'm curious what.
Have that size and speed. If you may have guys that have a little bit more speed than him, but not the size. But I also think there are a lot of guys that are very, very smart on this team, and those smart guys get there a lot quicker. I tell you the story about Matt Millen being on this team.
Sure.
Matt was probably the slowest linebacker I've ever seen in my life. But that dude made every damn play. Because if you watch him on film, you saw him slide and cheat because he already knew based off of his film study. And you look at guys like Bobby Wagner and I'll go all the way back to London Fletcher.
Sure.
You know, those guys. And you got people like Mikey Sarensteel and also Quan Martin. Those are smart guys who can also be able to get there earlier where you don't have to try to blow up a lineman or a fullback to get to a running back. You just get there quick enough to get them down.
Totally. The smarter you become, the game kind of slows down, even if maybe you're not as quick. I also think – what we see today is going to be very far from what we come to see week one. And, I mean, if you remember this time last year, Mariota and Jaden were, like, trading reps, and Mariota got the reps with the ones, and people got upset about that and said, oh, Jaden needs every rep, and I think that was proven to
people
be.
People don't understand it sometimes, and I think you have to get to a point where you can learn to not hear noise and understand what really is happening, because I think a lot of times everyone feel that they have an opinion, and you know what? You do. But your opinion don't matter in every situation. And I think exactly I was having a chance, like I told you, I got here earlier. I was over there speaking to special teams. And I told them what coach's mindset of you got to compete for it. That's the greatest thing that could ever happen. I say Jaden came in, he had to compete. And if he competed, all of y'all got to compete. So when he was doing that, you want to find out what somebody is mentally made up of. And when you ask Jaden the question, what did he say? I'm going to keep working. Whether I'm a starter or not, I'm going to keep working. I understand what's going on. That's why when you hear those people outside of the game saying, oh, he got to get every rep, you don't know what you're talking about.
I think, like today, I don't expect Trey Amos to be considered a starter. Mm-hmm. I think by week one, he's a starter. I think –
You don't draft them if you don't think they can play for you.
I don't think Josh Connerly, if there's any sort of work with a starting offensive line, I don't think Connerly will be out there. I think by week one, he will be.
Yeah.
And maybe there's some real conversation about whatever we think Coleman's going to be, let's get him there right away.
Yeah.
But I just don't think these guys operate that way. And I think through year one, the way they operate, which is a mindset of competing on every rep,
but doesn't it tell you a lot about who the guy is from the beginning? If you come in and you tell him, okay, well, this guy's been here a bit. He's ahead of you now. And he starts to pout and don't work. That's the guy you want to be your guy later on in life? You know what I'm saying? I think sometimes coaches are as big of psychologists, psychiatrist-type people as they are coaches. They want to see what you mentally made of. I told you with Sharp Adonis. How I used to go to him and do stuff just to agitate the hell out of him and see how he would react. And when he reacted in the way he did, I was like, oh, coach, I don't know if we need this guy out there on the field because he's not mentally tough enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And coaches want to you're finna put somebody on the field to protect your prized possession. You want to damn sure know that they can handle the pressure.
Sure. So let's set it up exactly what happened this morning because it's pretty damn cool. And it's – let's be honest, a departure from maybe how some previous administrations have handled it. B and I were talking last week or whatever, and he's like, yeah, they asked me to come talk to the special teams. And it was Dan Quinn specifically that asked you. And you have a long relationship with Larry Izzo and maybe gotten a fight on the field once upon a time. that's just how things go. But, like, what was it like? You got there. They brought you in. You know, I'm not even sure that everybody knows they have a B. Mitch Award.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, they started that award last year where they call it the Brian Mitchell Award, Commander-in-Chief, Special Teams Award every week. And coach had asked me would I mind coming over and talk to the returners and all like that. And I'll say, I don't mind. So I hit him yesterday once you solidified and confirmed that we were going to be here. I said, I'll be over there tomorrow. He was like, you know, he hit me this morning and said, we got 9:20 special teams practice. And, meeting, and we have practice at 12:15. Which one you want to just do practice or you want to come early? I say, I'll be there early, and I'll slip out and come to practice for a little bit as well. So I went in, and he asked me to talk to him a little bit. And, you know, just basically, I can't tell them nothing they haven't heard already, but just letting them know, like, my journey. I started off, never returned a kick in my life, and look what I ended up doing. And talked about Percy and I being from the same area. Me and Revo have a lot of conversation. Tress's status on his team, was able to point out the fact that Austin Eckler got into this league undrafted,
right?
Became a superstar, and still doesn't mind going on special teams to let people understand the importance of it. Luke played against his dad, you know, and I was, at the time I talked to his mom and his dad after the game, she was like, if he gets out of line, get him in line, Brian. I'm like, I'll let y'all do that.
Yeah.
You know? But it's just understanding and letting people realize that that days of when you're in high school and college, you play a special team, that people try to poo-poo on it. this is not about that. You're getting paid to play. So the guy that tell you, oh, you just play special team, that's sitting on his ass watching you, you know, ignore him. It's very important because most times when you go into a game, offense and defense, some kind of way evens out. Special teams throws it over into one side or the other. And I believe the way that Dan and Larry presents their special teams, you know, hell, let's be honest, they take all this time in the morning first with special teams. They have special teams. Some people get in special teams where they can fit in. But you look at the people like Joe Gibbs back in the day, Andy Reid, like Dan are doing, they make a special time for it to show the importance of it. And they draft guys that can play it. You know, Revo, the dude has become a menace, you know. So I just wanted to point that out and let them understand. Like, if anytime they want to ask any question, if many people on this team that know my phone number.
Right.
Give me a call because I like talking to dudes, giving them little tidbits, things that can help them out. I don't care to be a coach because that's a lot of time.
It's a lot of time.
And, you know, I like swinging the – oh, I forgot to bring your club. I got to bring your club too.
Nah, nobody's playing golf today, dog.
No.
I'm saying it's all
good. No, they're in my truck.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was fun beating Jeff yesterday.
I'm sure. But hold on. What did it mean to you? Now, you are – you're a tough guy.
I got hype, dog.
But, like, this is the team that changed your life.
I got a little teary-eyed up
there, too. Yeah, I'm curious.
Yeah, because, you know, it's like – I remember – you right here with me saying, if anybody needs, I'm willing to talk, help, whatever. Never was asked. And then when Dan asked me last year,
right,
you know, we were doing the show with him right before training camp.
Yeah.
And I'm like, of course, you know, I damn sure would do that. Because let's be real, man. The guys that have been drafted, even the guys that have been brought here on a undrafted free agent contract, they still understand what they're doing. But maybe one little word from somebody that was in their same position, a fifth-round draft pick, a guy, you know, from a smaller school, whatever, and was able to play – when Larry said this dude played 14 years in the league, they were like, whoa. Because you don't hear that, many guys playing that long. And to come into this league to play a position that I had never played and do something I had never done to be able to get 14 years out of it while also playing – offense, you know, doing stuff on that. Like I told him, I said, I think I might have played more positions than anybody in the history of the NFL.
Seriously?
Quarterback, running back, fullback. I lined up in slot. I played safety on a couple of plays. I returned kicks. I returned punts. I covered kicks. I covered punts. I was the holder. You know what I mean? So when you start looking at all those things, you have to dig all the way back down into what you did in little league football and bring it back. And Coach Gibbs said, the more you can do, the longer you can play. And I tell guys like that now, if a coach is asking you to do something, coaches are guys who are kind of like guys who can foresee future. They see you. They know what you're capable of. You might have never tried it, but they want you to try it out. Don't ever say no to any of that stuff. I was a quarterback. I was in a position where you were pampered. You know, you were favored.
Right.
And they asked me to go play something physical. Cool. I was always that guy, even at quarterback. Like Gary Clark thought I was crazy. Like, man, he told Ricky, that dude never played no quarterback. He ain't no damn quarterback. Y'all lying. So Ricky pulled up some college stuff. He's like, I don't care. He said, that dude far jumping. He's not a damn quarterback, you know. But it was very, very special, you know. So, you know, like you saw how I was last year, man. I finally was allowed myself to enjoy and be a fan.
Right.
And – it's a roller coaster ride.
Sure.
But it was a damn good one.
I mean, that's the fun of it, right?
Yeah.
Is the collective, the shared experiences, the exhilaration, and at times the heartbreak, right? Like all of it. I just.
Landfill. Talk about the B. Mitch Award for the most truculent player of the week.
That I believe. I'm really happy for you. And I mean, it's a little thing, but little things go a long way, and I think that's what this organization is about. That's what DQ is about. And this wasn't, best I can tell, there's no camera, right?
No.
Like, there's no, like, social media posts coming about you and Jalen Lane walking down the field.
No.
Like, it was just, you know, this dude did it at a high level. Come talk to the players. And I know other players have been brought back.
Yep.
And I think that integration of the past and the current is just smart, and I think it's exciting. And on a personal level, I'm really happy it happened for you, because I think it matters, and it matters to you, and hopefully it matters to those young men. I think you know, there's a lot of folks. There was a long period of time here where special teams was largely considered an afterthought. And I think if you – now, listen, it backfired one time on the Turpin touchdown at home last year. But outside of that, if you go look at that Detroit game, how they covered kicks and punts.
But I'll be honest with you, Turpin touchdown, one person.
Sure.
If he stays in his lane, Turpin is probably on his back looking for somebody to come get him off the ground.
Well, and he's also probably the best defender, the best returner in the NFL, if not the among them. Like, what I appreciate, coaches always preach mindset, right? But few of them are consistent. A lot of times it'll be like, oh, we're going to be aggressive. But then they're not. Except not this time.
Yeah.
Like, this staff is going to push the gas all the time. And I think a seriousness with special teams is part of that. Because, I mean, special teams is the ultimate competition. Man.
It is.
I mean, that is true will. Like, but the kid Medrano they just drafted.
Yes.
I had an interview with him, rookie minicamp, and he brought up specials. Like, I was going to get there. He's like, yeah, you know, I'm really excited to show what I can be as a linebacker, but
when
I can't wait.
When you're his size and you run 4.47,
totally.
You need to know.
He's like, I can't wait to show them what I can do on special teams. Yeah. And that needs to be your attitude, man.
Bro, listen to me. You get on a roster, and your minimum salary is, like, close to $800,000. To hell with what the people outside says. You know what I mean? How many people making $800,000 in 4 months? You know? So you don't worry about that. You go out there and you get ready to play. I just, it's, you know, when you look at what they have done, you look at around this team. I was having a little conversation with Doug then before I went there to talk. The excitement. This team went from nobody respecting it at all to being discussed in the highest of high when it comes to positions and different things going on in the league. The talk of the draft coming here, talking of new stadiums, all of these
international games,
all Christmas international, game. all these high profile games, primetime games. But the thing is, they're not satisfied. They're happy. And, you know, things are going to be coming from behind it.
I think that's well said. There's a lot of optimism surrounding this football team. I think there is a ton of reason for just enthusiasm with this football team. And I think little things like that make such a difference, man. And I'm glad you got to have that experience, and it was just fun. Not that you need more experiences, right? You've had plenty. You're wearing your Super Bowl ring. I know on days you wear that thing, there's a reason behind it, and certainly a great one today, and I'm glad it all worked out. I think as we kind of get into the day here, we got to talk about the hoops. Last night, I watched it. What Halliburton did last night was simply incredible.
It was.
I mean, that was a dude that to have a triple-double with no turnovers. We're going to talk to Chris Miles here in just a minute.
Let me ask you a quick question because I know something coming up. Trends or dinger? All right. Thank you.
All right. Here's what we're going to do. We're talking basketball with Chris Miles next. Neil Greenberg joins us at 11. You'll hear from Cliff Kingsbury at noon. We're live in Ashburn getting everything going all morning, all day long. Commanders, OTAs, who's here, who's not. We'll figure it all out together. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Obviously, we're going to be focused on Commanders OTAs today, but I watched that game last night, man. The Pacers are a problem, dude. And the Knicks are finding out the hard way. Joining us now is our friend from NBA TV, Mr. Chris Miles. Miles, you're a New Yorker, and we love you, but it sure looks like the Knicks' run is coming to an end. What do you think of this Indy team?
Well, here's the thing, right? And that's a great question in this sense. I think whoever comes out of Eastern Conference is going to get smacked up by whoever comes out of the Western Conference, which obviously looks like the Oklahoma City Thunder. But I think the Pacers are kind of like the modern basketball of, look, you get a couple of really good defenders, you get a throwback point guard, and guys that can shoot at every position, including the center position and the power forward position, and you don't turn the ball over. And we're kind of seeing like the basic take care of the basketball, play good defense, hit open shots. As simple as that sounds, the Pacers don't have an Anthony Edwards, right? Like, I love Tyrese Halliburton, but when you think of all-time great players, he doesn't really wet your beak. But they're winning because they play smart, intelligent, and disciplined basketball.
So I want to follow up on that because I hear what you're saying about Halliburton, and he doesn't get mentioned like other players. And yet last night he drops a triple-double with no turnovers, which is pretty damn unheard of. And I thought the most impressive play he made, he had a steal late in the fourth quarter as the Knicks were kind of hot. And the defense, the length he has, like, do we need to change how we talk about Halliburton?
All right, just talk about him. And I think a lot of people talk about him today, right?
No. Yeah,
Chris, I forgot you were here, man. I thought he was asking me a question.
So here's the deal, right? The way I look at Halliburton is he's a true point guard for today's NBA. But when you think of, like, let's say Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, right? Like, if he has 14 points one game, you know he's coming back the next game to give you 40 and 10. With Halliburton, if you're playing disciplined defense and you're on your assignments, he's not having that kind of game. Halliburton takes advantage of your mistakes, and really he doesn't make mistakes. You know, JP, it's like imagine a quarterback that's the perfect game manager, and I mean perfect across the board. But you know he's not Jaden Daniels, right? Like, you know you don't have that guy. I feel like that's the way that players look at Halliburton. When I watch him, I appreciate him. Look, here's a stat for him. First player in NBA history. You know how we always have the caveats? No caveat right here. First player in NBA history to 500 assists in a season before getting 100 turnovers. That means no player ever has done that before him. So that tells you how efficient he is at getting assists every single night without throwing the ball away.
But so
he's like, something, man.
And I think
they're really well coached.
The whole deal is like that's one thing I've said that they play as a team. They're disciplined. They're well coached. But like I think the whole star trend of how people look at them, like the guys that scores 30 every night per se. And then has a 15-point game, as you just stated earlier, they're going to come back and get 30-40 the next night. He's not that type of player. And it's not that people don't respect his game. It's just society talks about the flair all the time. Because he won the NBA MVP. I don't think Shea has talked about like a lot of other guys have talked about just because he's quiet.
Well, here's the thing, B. Mitch. I mean, it's wild to me because we interviewed Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, right? And you know how it is. You post something to social media, you're like, oh, this is going to blow up. And I'm saying, if I post something about Ant-Man, it's everywhere, right? You go places. Yeah. I asked Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, I think I may have talked to you guys about this, about being the face of the league, and he gave the Michael Jordan-esque, like, perfect answer. Like, hey, that's for others to decide. I'm just, happy about this award, and I want people to see what I do. And I feel like if Shea Gilgeous-Alexander was in 1995, he would be beloved. But because of today's three-point shooting, he's not a big three-point shooter. Crazy passes. He doesn't really make crazy passes. Above the rim. He doesn't do those three things. He just consistently beats your head in. So he's not, like, viewed in this way. And I think the same thing for Halliburton, right? Like, Halliburton will make nice assists, but outside of that, like, yeah, he'll hit a logo three, but it doesn't look like Steph, right? It's kind of funny looking, and people make memes about it. I think that's the difference. Like, these two guys that we see are merging, potentially going to the finals, aren't as aesthetically pleasing, is what I would say.
And I look at it like this. I think society is confused. Society gets mad at the guy who brags all the time. But then they only promote the guy who brags all the time or who's very voiceless about what they do. You know what I mean? Like, Shea doesn't talk, Halliburton doesn't talk, but they're unbelievable. Listen, if they're on your team or you're a coach, you love them. You want the guy that's going to just come in with his lunch pail and handle his business. But the other guys discuss it. They show flair, and they get rewarded. But we don't seem to reward the guys who we tell everybody to be like.
Well, it's the same thing with the last couple. If you look at the champions the last couple of years, I mean, we could say the same thing about Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, right? It was. I mean, we had the same discussion last year. Nikola Jokic, same discussion. And I think what we're starting to see in the NBA is it's so hard, it's such a grind, that the guys that do that are getting overlooked by guys with a little bit more flair, and they're in the quiet ones are the ones winning championships. The quiet ones are the ones advancing to the finals now.
You know, and think about MJ. MJ had flair. He didn't talk about a lot about who he was. He just handled. He just was in the finals all the time. And I think that's the thing about it where people look at Michael because Mike was so popular. Mike was popular because he was damn good.
And winning rings.
And he was winning the rings consistently. And I think a lot of those guys fall after that instead of the people say, I'm the greatest player to ever play.
Yeah, I'm not sure Michael Jordan ever even said it once.
No, he never said that one time.
Not one time. And if, I mean, you know this because I'm sure you've spoken to him. Like, he alludes, like, I will beat you at everything, but he doesn't say, like, I'm the greatest, right? Like, he'll say, right. Oh, let's play this, whatever it is you're doing, whether it's golf or cards, he is going to try to annihilate you, but he's not going to, like, say, I'm the greatest to ever do this one thing.
Right. Talking with our friend Chris Miles here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Chris, you can follow his work at Chris Miles TV or on NBA TV. Does a hell of a job. Always doing it with a smile on his face, too, which I really appreciate. Here's something that's interesting.
And that little baby face.
No matter who ends up winning, it sure looks like it's going to be Indy, you know, Pacers versus the Thunder, and I don't think anybody's beating the Thunder. But regardless, I mean, how many straight years are we going now? Four, maybe even five, without a repeat champ?
Seven.
Wow. I think, you know, there's a reason there are people out there that'll make an argument Eli Manning is better than Dan Marino. Dan Marino was 10 times the quarterback Eli Manning was, but Marino never got a ring, right? Mm-hmm. People will make the argument for, like, Clyde Drexler over Charles Barkley. Like, it's just, it's not fair, but rings are what really count to a lot of fans, championships. Do you think this face of the NBA conversation goes away if one team starts to stack championships?
I think it's an American thing. And truly, the NBA is an international league. Like, you know, you go anywhere in Europe and you're like, wait, I didn't realize the NBA was this popular. I think the whole conversation, because I don't remember this conversation being a thing, it's because the MVPs now are stacking up international. You know, you had Giannis, Joker, now Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, Joel Embiid, right? You look at those
guys.
Hold on,
we get to claim Canada, I think.
No, sir.
Yeah, North America.
Hey, man, that's going down a different road I'm not getting in on, right? Like, but No.
We claiming them just because he's in North America. You're not trying to own them.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
He played ball at Kentucky. But he
went to school here.
Yeah.
Look, these international players that go to college here, I'm not calling them international players. Right. The ones that just come straight here from there, I'll call them international players.
We may say that, but I'm going to hit you in the head. If Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, the way that he walks, the way that he talks, the way that he dresses, was from Harlem or Compton, he would be the face of the NBA. If he was from,
why can't he be from PG, Chris?
Indiana. Yes, this is what I'm saying. He would be the face of the NBA, period. So even in talking to him, like, I forget that he's, quote, Canadian. Because to your point, B. Mitch, he comes across like a guy from L.A. Like, truly.
Yeah.
When you talk, you're like, yeah. So it's like, oh, yeah.
He and Jaden are more alike than anything.
Right.
He acts like Jaden Daniels.
That's my – so I think the reason he hasn't been – like, he doesn't get the same love is because of that, like, connection. Even the Kentucky thing, it doesn't feel like he's tied to Kentucky like some other guys. Like, every time we mention Tyler Hero, it's like, Kentucky's own Jamal Murray, Bam Adebayo, Devin Booker. It's like
Anthony
part
Davis.
Of the conversation. Yeah. With Shane, it also doesn't connect in that way. Like, it's really strange across the board how the American tie isn't there. And I think that's part of it. And, like, you know, Anthony Edwards, a big part of that is, like, the bravado, and he's Georgia, and everybody kind of gets it. And right. I think that's just missing a little bit with Shane Gilgeous-Alexander.
That's really interesting. The other interesting thing I would say is Thunder T-Wolves is tonight, right? 8:30. Game five, I guess, for the Knicks is tomorrow night. It's entirely possible both these series could get closed out and there's no hoops for a week. Do you think that will impact it at all?
I think one of these series will go to a game six. And if I had to bet on it from how game four ended, I think the Timberwolves are more poised to get another win. And someone explained this to me. One of the vets was like, you know, the hardest thing is closing out a team. And I'm like, man, the Wolves lost by two. They kind of beat the Thunder in every category, except they turned the ball over too much. Right?
Too much.
With the Knicks last night, they looked discombobulated. Like, they really looked lost. Like, they lost their identity. Karl Anthony Towns holding his knee. That felt more like a defeated team, where the Wolves looked like they had the belief down to the final second, like, oh, man, we're not tied at 2-2. We just lost this. How did this happen?
They have to be mentally frail right now, because that game, game two, when they scored all them points, played as well as they did, was up that much and lost that game, that's demoralizing.
Are you talking about the Knicks?
The Knicks, the Knicks.
Yeah. Well, there's that, and I do think, again, when I watch teams this late in the season, I think of the trajectory of going up. Like, the Wolves are building around Anthony Edwards, right? Like, every move they make, like, if you look at the guys that shined in that loss in game four, it's like N'Keal Alexander, Walker, going to be with Ant-Man for years to come. Potentially Naz Reid if they resign him. Dante DiVincenzo fits in perfectly. And Terrence Shannon came in and has some. It's like, oh, all of Ant-Man's guys, right? Like, all right, this is what it's going to be going forward. Let's see if we can push them and make this the longest series. With the Knicks, it seems like, man, can we trust Bridges to take these shots? Is Towns hurt? Why is Mitchell Robinson on the bench? Did Josh Hart play too many minutes late? Like, all of these things are factoring into the discombobulation for the Knicks as opposed to the T-Wolves.
You're right. Like, when the T-Wolves lose, it just seems like the Thunder make one more play. Like, last night with the Pacers and the Knicks, they cut it to, like, six with whatever, maybe 4 minutes left, and then the Pacers just closed them out. Last thing, when that Indy crowd I thought was pretty good, and when they were chanting flopper, it was loud and clear. Do you think that makes any impact?
To me, when I heard that, I was like, oh, the Knicks are about to go on a run. And they kind of did. Like, so, I don't know, man. I always think, like, when you're playing and you're kind of like going through the motions and you can't get right, and someone starts talking trash to you and you get in your rhythm, I almost feel like that helps a guy like Jalen Brunson. Maybe that affects someone else, but for him, I'm like, he just went to the free throw line 9 times. He shot 9 free throws this quarter. That's really not working, guys. Like, and he made 8 of them, you know?
Right.
I'm like, to me, that's a great chant, by the way. It's unique. It fits what's going on. It shows that they understand the sport, and the whole arena is doing it. But I don't think it had an effect on Jalen Brunson down the stretch, though.
I don't either. Miles, I always appreciate you making time for us, man. The playoffs have been fun, and I just think the Thunder are going to wax whoever they play, but that's why they play the games.
Can I make one final point? I saw someone, I think it was David Aldridge, go full, like, I want Milowatch to be a good fit for the Wizards in the draft. I just want to co-sign that, my friend. Want to make sure I'm on record there.
Okay. Well,
you're co-signing the genius.
Well, and we'll circle back on the draft before the draft happens. We got a couple weeks on that. Chris,
appreciate you, bro.
Thank you for the time, man. Seriously.
Thanks for having me on. Talk to you guys soon.
All right, bro. Gotcha.
That's our boy Chris Miles from NBA TV. Give him a follow at Chris Miles TV. Neil Greenberg joins the show at 11. You know who I love is Mike Rizzo. Apparently this morning on the Junks, he kind of went hard on some analysts. We're going to play that audio in a little bit. Me and B holding it down out here in Ashburn, Commanders OTAs.
Get us a canoe, dog, to get over there to the practice.
What shoes did you go with today? I went with waterproof joints.
I just wore these. The
Dunks are pretty good.
I was able to drive all the way in, so I didn't need much.
I saw your car. Yeah, I'm out in the flood zone. I'm hoping my boy Noah builds an ark. I wanted to address one thing real quick from yesterday. So the Post has this poll that the Commander's name is growing in popularity. I don't think that's deniable. Like, they have the data on it, right?
Yeah.
And I got a million people on Twitter mad at me because I said, I think most fans are kind of just moving forward with the name. Mm-hmm. And there are some fans that can't, and that's okay. I'm not here to be the fan police. I'm not here to tell anybody how to fan. Mm-hmm. You're entitled to your own opinions and feelings. And I understand that changing the name is a raw wound for a lot of people. I've said myself a million times, I don't love the new name. I hate that there's no nickname. The best analogy I can come up with for this is you have a sibling. You have a brother or a sister, right?
Yeah.
You love them. They're your brother or your sister. Eventually, they get married. And maybe you don't like the person they marry.
Yep.
You're still going to love your brother or sister.
Yeah.
And you're going to figure out how to deal with their new spouse.
Yes.
And I think for a lot of fans, that's where they're at. They love this football team. They don't love the new name, but they're trying to move forward with it. And I think that's a fair place to be.
And if you want to be the person who's claiming you are not going, I'm not going to do nothing if they're not one name, that's your right. But guess what? They're not going to wait for you. And you can't get mad at people for telling you the truth. Okay? The same people that tell me, it ain't going to be nothing for me unless it's the Redskins. You're at the game, dude. You spent money to come support this team. So you're lying to yourself already.
Like, there's also data, and if you want to question the Post polling, that you're fine. We live in an era where everything gets questioned, right? And everything is polarized. But Jaden Daniels is the most exciting player in decades for this team.
Yeah.
His jersey was the number one seller last fall. Like, that jersey is a Commander's jersey.
I say this, Jay. The people that want to sit up here and get mad at you for just relaying information. You didn't say it was your thought. You're relaying information. How the hell does his jersey get number one if people are not supporting it? Somebody's buying it. So if you're not buying it, it's a lot of your friends that's lying to you about what they're not buying. And what they're doing, just what JP said, they're moving forward. They're not stuck in park. You're stuck in park. Don't get mad because you don't have a lot of people around you that's supporting what you do anymore.
It if you choose, whatever you choose to do is okay by me. I'm just saying that a lot of people are choosing to move forward. And for me, on a human level, like, my oldest daughter, Shelby, wears this old Redskins hat of mine all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But she also wears a Commander sweatshirt all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Neither's wrong. I think the team has done a really good job of kind of embracing the past and trying to move forward. I recognize there are people out there that want the logo back. The team name ain't coming back. Like, at some point, if we want to celebrate Josh Harris for hiring Adam Peters, drafting Jaden Daniels, being willing to put up $2 billion of his own money to redevelop RFK, if we want to celebrate those things, you got to listen to the man when he says, we're not going back to Redskins, Commanders is here to stay. Dude, these guys talk about what RFK meant to them. They love the name Redskins.
Yeah.
But, like,
they also understand what the times are. But those people that like to sit there and want to tell everybody what they have to do, the people that are spending the money gets the right to decide what they're going to do. Point blank.
Yeah. I think
it's like me coming to your house and telling you, nah, I need you to have that door painted this color. And you cannot have those windows like that.
What? Totally. What I hate are, like, these nameless, faceless Twitter accounts that only seem to want to talk about the name, right? And I mean, I've seen the amount of Twitter activity I've gotten in the last 24 hours is bananas to me. The amount of people that their Twitter account is solely devoted to the name, and they've never once asked me a question about, hey, what's Sam Cosmi's timeline look like? Like, there are people out there that I don't think are actual fans. I think they're here to stir the pot about a cultural touchpoint issue. But I think there's a lot of people a lot of people that love the team, don't like the name, and are trying to move forward, and I can understand and respect that position.
And I can tell you this. I know it can help you. When they say something, don't say nothing else about what they said. You know what? People that are not talked to, stop talking.
You're right. Neil Greenberg joins us next.